Good singing. Appreciate that. Let's turn now in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. As we continue our study of these examples of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, that will be on page 1875. Look at the account of the faith of Moses. Actually, it will be 1876. Beginning at verse 23 to verse 28. And will you join me here as we come to the Lord in prayer, asking God to bless His Word. Lord our God, Your Word is blessed, and we are blessed to have Your Word in our language, words that were written long ago about a man called Moses and how we have so much to learn from him. A man of faith. And we pray, Father, that You will enable us to learn these. Open our ears to understand what it is to live by faith as Moses did. And so we pray, Father, that You would do that work in us, that blessed work in us, as we open Your Word now and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow along with me in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 28. This is God's living word. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. As we come to this historical account of Moses, I would like you to try to avoid the temptation of thinking of the classical movie, The Ten Commandments, and some of those scenes. Some of you know of that movie, 1956, so that era. Then the children would maybe start thinking about the animated movie, The Prince of Egypt. And let me say, we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about Moses here. Of course, there are certain details in those movies that are there in the scriptures, but they take from extra-biblical sources and also inspirational sources. We're going to base our look at the life of Moses from the scriptures, highlighting here Moses' faith, his faith in God. Moses was perhaps Israel's greatest leader. Why was he a great leader? Well, it's because he was humble. It says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, that he was the most humble of all people who are on the face of the earth. That is a great leader. And here in Hebrews, we learn of a man of great faith, and his faith was so great because of the reward that he was looking to. And we have an example in this man, of a man who lived by faith. In verses 23 to 28, we have almost a full lifespan of Moses, from his birth to his 80th, about when he was about 80, so two-thirds of his life. And it continues onward in verse 29, speaking of later on in his life. But we have most of his life represented here in these verses, where from his birth, this man Moses was set apart, even from his childhood, as a chosen leader to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. It would take a full lifetime for this man Moses to grow in this faith that we're learning about here. A full lifetime of him going from the basket, growing up in the palace, and then to the wilderness, and then back to Egypt. This is what we're looking at here today. This man who grew up to become a fearless man of faith, who, we learn, chose to suffer with Christ as the greatest thing of all. And instead of the fleeting pleasures of sin, he chose to suffer for Christ so that he would receive the rewards in Christ. So just as God had the special plan for Moses to become an example of faith, also what I'd like to see here is that God has a plan for each of us as he sets us apart as well as those who live by faith. We're going to see four practical lessons of faith from Moses' life of faith. The first is this. By faith, we see God's favor to fulfill God's redemptive plans. We see God's favor on his life, on our lives as well, to fulfill his redemptive plans. Here's a trivia question for anyone, especially the children. Do you know the names of Moses' parents? If you look at the genealogies, you'll find in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, it's Amram and Jochebed. And they're being referenced here in verse 23 of Hebrews 11, where it says, by faith, Moses' parents hid Moses for 3 months. And the reason why they hid him was because of the king's edict. The king of the Pharaoh had commanded that all the Hebrew sons were to be thrown into the Nile River, were to be killed, cast into the Nile. And when Amram and Jochebed saw this baby boy, who wasn't called Moses, but saw this boy, they saw how beautiful he was. Here it says how he was no ordinary child. Then they fearlessly hid him. They fearlessly, meaning that they did not fear the king's edict. They knew that if they hid him, they were caught hiding their son, that they could be killed along with their son. Well, we have a commentary here in Acts chapter 7 where it recounts the life, where Stephen recounts the history of Israel. And I'll just read that for you here. It says, at this time Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. Moses' parents saw the beauty of their son, and they saw it as God's favor on him, God's grace on him, in that it was not only on him, but it was on the people of Israel, because they saw in him a deliverer, one who would bring the people of Israel out, fulfilling God's plan of redemption for them. I was reading recently about parents who thought their baby Lucas was so cute, so beautiful, that they entered him and his pictures of him into the Gerber Cute Baby Award contest. 140,000 babies, parents submitted their cute baby pictures for the Gerber Baby Award. And Lucas won the 2018 award. Lucas has Down syndrome. And there are very few babies with Down syndrome today because most of them are aborted. And I don't know if the parents of Lucas are believers or the judges of this Gerber contest are believers, but what we do know is that God's view of beauty is different than any of us. He sees in a person's life, that this person is for his purposes, for his glory. And that's how he saw Moses. Verse 23, we see that it is by the faith of Moses' parents, by faith, Moses' parents hid Moses for 3 months. They preserved him alive. They kept him from being killed. And that was an act of faith, to see God's purposes at work in their child. Now, we have only some parents here in our assembly. A lot of families are away this evening. But Parents, when you look at your children, your covenant children, or the grace of God is upon your children, do you see that in their full lifespan, that God's favor is upon them for a purpose? That God would fulfill His redemptive purposes in their life. Just as Amram and Jochebed did show their faith in God fulfilling His redemptive plans. So it's by faith as parents that we raise our children. Well, we continue the story of Moses here. If we turn to Exodus chapter 2, how his parents, in Exodus chapter 2, verses 3 onward, in verse 10, we find what happens here when they hid him for 3 months. Then finally, when they could hide him no longer, the mother, Jochebed, took papyrus, these reeds, and made a basket, and then sealed it. It says here in verse 3, with tar and pitch. That means it made it waterproof and made it to float. And put Moses, to place the child, and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. So you picture that. Then Moses' sister, Miriam, was there also watching as that basket was floating along the Nile. And she wanted to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter was coming down to the Nile to bathe with her attendants, her servants were walking along the Nile. The daughter of Pharaoh saw the basket in the reeds and called a slave girl to get it. And then the daughter of Pharaoh opened the basket, and what did she see? This beautiful baby. And she saw and heard this baby crying. He was crying, it says. And then her heart went out to him. She felt sorry for him. She had pity on him. Now imagine, here's the daughter of Pharaoh, knowing the king's edict that every Hebrew son was to be drowned in that river. And she shows pity on that Hebrew child. And so Miriam comes and says, would you like me to help providing someone to nurse this baby? And so she says, go. Now, that could have been a long time to allow Moses to be nursed, perhaps 5 years until he was weaned. And with that time, his parents, Moses' parents, would have had time to teach Moses the things of God, the God of Israel, God's plan for Israel. This was the time that Moses had to remember his people and never to forget them. If we go to Acts chapter 7, verse 22, you don't have to turn there, but we find a commentary of how Moses, when he was finally brought to the palace, he grew up in that place and he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in his words and deeds. And when he grew up to 40 years of age, it came into his heart to visit his brothers. You see, he never forgot. He never forgot what his parents taught him. And he went back to visit the children of Israel. Something happened in the heart of Moses where his allegiance, which was for 40 years, really most of his life, to the Pharaoh, was now turning back to his people and his God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, now he's 40, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, when he's 40, he wanted to be with his people. He doesn't want to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. So this meant changing his allegiance. He no longer wanted to be identified as Pharaoh's daughter, but now he wanted to be identified with his people. This meant renouncing the position that he enjoyed in Pharaoh's palace, and now to take up the reproach of being a slave with his people. How could have that happened in his heart? How did that happen in Moses' heart? There must have been a superior pleasure to the pleasure he had in that palace. To move his heart from the prestige, from the privilege of Pharaoh's court, to now consider the mistreatments, the reproach of Christ, something greater. And this is where we're going to learn here from Moses. The second practical lesson of faith. Number two is this. By faith, we suffer for Christ, looking to the greater reward. By faith, we suffer for Christ, looking to the greater reward. If you've traveled in the third world, and you've seen poverty, you have seen the disparity that's between the poor of the poor and the rich of the rich, and we are the rich of the rich. If you put your income into a website, there are a lot of websites out there, and you compare your income to the incomes of the world, you will find yourself, all of you, in the top 1% of the rich of the rich. The rich of the world, 1% of the world, top 1% or better. You are rich. It's as though you live in a palace. You live in luxury and privilege. Now Moses, the extreme is even greater, because Moses was living in the palace of one of the richest and most powerful kingdoms in history, in Egypt. Even that time was very powerful and wealthy. And yet his people, who were slaves to the Egyptians, were the poorest of the poor, the abject poverty of slavery. And what could enter the mind and heart of Moses that he would choose to leave that to go to this? What would change in his heart that he would choose the afflictions of his people when he had all the pleasures of this world at his fingertips that he could enjoy? Why would he move from the palace to the pit? There must have been greater treasure there. Greater pleasure, greater treasures with his people. And there was. He found that greater treasure and pleasure in the Messiah that his people were waiting for, in Christ. In verse 26 of this Hebrews chapter 11 says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to the reward, to his reward. See, Moses must have looked ahead to a greater king. He had a king in his court, right there, but there was a greater king with a greater kingdom that he had come to know, and his heart was now trusting in. He thought it would be better to suffer for this king, this one whose people were awaiting, the Messiah, who has an eternal kingdom, than to have this fleeting pleasure, this momentary pleasure of this world. Just for a moment. We know that that value for Moses and that value for any of us is so great when we are willing to suffer for it. We know that value is so great because of the willingness to suffer for it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us, "Let us then go to Jesus outside of the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore." Outside of the camp. That means where Jesus went outside, he bore the cross, he was nailed to the cross, he bore the reproach, the disgrace. And that means standing with Jesus. Identifying with Jesus. It means identifying with his people. It means even leaving the things that it might cost us. Comfort, security, even family. Whatever that might mean to have Jesus. This is what Moses was doing. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, it says that one day when he was grown up, he went out. He left the palace. He went out to his people. He left the pleasures and he went out and he began to identify with his people. I'm going to turn there again. You don't have to turn there, but Exodus chapter 2, continuing the story, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. That day he went out to his people and he watched them in their hard labor. And what did he see, children? What did he see? Moses saw one of the Egyptian slave drivers beating a Hebrew. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And that broke his heart. And so what did Moses do? He looked to the left, he looked to the right, he glanced around, and he saw that no one was watching. He killed that Egyptian. And then he took the dead body and he buried him in the sand. Well, obviously, the Hebrews watching this, word spread through the Hebrew camp. The next day, Moses went back to his people, saw two Hebrews fighting, and asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And the man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us?" Well, that would have been a shock to hear that. "Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" And even now, it says Moses was afraid. He was afraid because people had heard. He says, "What I did must have become known." And so news got to the court of Pharaoh. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses in his anger. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "By faith he left Egypt." Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And here we learn from Moses the third lesson of faith. By faith, we persevere without fear, seeing him who is invisible. So the third lesson is, by faith, we persevere without fear, seeing him who is invisible. You may have noticed a few things in the telling of the story. You may have noticed that in Exodus 2:14, that Moses was afraid after he killed the Egyptian. And then here it says, he left not fearing the king's anger. Well, this is true, and that is true as well. We know that Moses didn't fear the king's anger. This is what it says. But he was afraid. Naturally, he was afraid. The natural anxiety and stress that you experience when you know that your life is in danger. But he wasn't afraid. When he came to himself, he was trusting in God by faith that he was not going to fear the king's anger. Secondly, you may have understood here in verse 27, you may have always read this to see, he left Egypt. And perhaps it hears Moses is leaving with the people of Israel for the Exodus. Actually, all of them now coming out of Egypt, the house of slavery and bondage, and now crossing the Red Sea and all that. Well, if we follow the chronology of Hebrews 11, we find that it is in order of time. And so that is not the Exodus. The Exodus comes later in verse 29, where they pass through the Red Sea. This is what I understand, that Moses is fleeing from Egypt when he is 40 years old, and then he wanders in Midian as a shepherd for 40 years old until he's 80. And only after that time he returns. But during that time, you'll remember that the Lord appeared to him. Not in as God is spirit, who is invisible. He did not appear personified in a person. He appeared in the burning bush. And Moses saw him. He took off his shoes. He was on holy ground when God spoke out of the bush and called him to deliver the people of Israel out of slavery. It says, Moses saw him who is invisible. And he saw him by faith. He saw him by faith. Well, like Moses, we are those who live by faith, persevering through our wilderness wanderings, and at times we'll face danger, as Moses faced this danger of that time early on when he was 40. And if we experience fear in the face of danger, we have to recognize there is this natural stress. But immediately, where is going to be our trust? Is it going to be in the Lord? In that danger. that faith that enables us to persevere through danger, seeing the invisible God who is there, who is protector, who is deliverer from all of our fears. There's a practical application. Well, back to Moses, 40 years of him living by faith in Midian. Now he's 80. The Lord has commissioned him to go back to Egypt. Here we have a reluctant leader. And he's to go back to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go so that they can worship me." And you know how the Lord sent the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. We also read that the Lord hardened his heart. And this was all for God to fulfill his purposes, to redeem his people out of the house of bondage and slavery. And what was the 10th plague? The 10th plague was the killing of the firstborn son of Egypt, of every Egyptian. And the people of Israel would be protected if they obeyed the Lord's command. In Exodus chapter 12, we have the command that was given to Moses, and then Moses communicating, summoning the people, and telling them what to do, that they might be protected. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop," this was going to be their paintbrush, "and dip it into the blood of, in a basin, this blood of the lamb." And they were to paint it where? On the top of the door and on both sides. Can you picture that, children? The paint blood on the top of the door and on both sides. And listen to this. "No one of you, not one of you, shall go out of his house until morning." They were to remain in the house protected by the blood. And when the Lord goes to the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and on the sides. And he will pass over the doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter the house and to strike you down. Hebrews chapter 11 comments here on this event, where by faith Moses kept the Passover. That means he kept the command of this Passover, of painting the blood, the sprinkling of the blood. And the purpose was so that they would not be destroyed. They would be protected from the destroyer of the firstborn. They would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Here Moses is demonstrating his faith by obeying the command of the Lord. He was doing exactly what he was told, and being fully persuaded that God was going to do what he had promised, that through the blood, the people of Israel would be redeemed. They will be protected, and they will be delivered from the destroying angel. And here we learn from Moses the fourth lesson of faith, and it's this. By faith, we look to the blood of Christ for our protection and our deliverance. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Christ is our Passover lamb." If we want to know who our Passover lamb is, it's Christ, who has been sacrificed for us. When we should be destroyed because of our sin, Christ, the Lamb of God, through his blood, we are cleansed. We are covered instead of being destroyed. We are protected and we are delivered. Just as Israel was protected from the destroyer, so have we been protected from destruction. And you may, at times, and I hear people in counseling say that I'm afraid of God's judgment. Well, here is the word for you, that Christ's blood has been shed to cleanse, to cover, to protect, and to deliver. That's why Christ was sacrificed. He's our Passover lamb. The Israelites, if you notice here, were not to go out of their houses. They were to stay in the safety of their homes. with the blood covering them, the blood protecting them. And the temptation for us at times is to look outside for other kinds of safety, other kinds of protection, other kinds of deliverance, when we all already have a protector, we already have a deliverer in Christ. He is our Redeemer. So what we've learned from Moses are from wonderful lessons, four lessons of faith. So to recap, by faith we see God's favor to fulfill His redemptive promises. By faith we suffer for Christ, looking for the greater reward. By faith we persevere without faith, seeing Him who is invisible. And finally we looked at, by faith we look to the blood of Christ for our protection and deliverance. If we were to continue studying the lessons of faith through the life of Moses for the next 40 years of his life, when he died, as an old man, still strong, after wandering through the wilderness with these Israelites who were lacking much faith, but here was this great leader, this humble man, this man of faith. So many lessons we can learn from him. But it was only because God's favor was upon him, that God's grace rested upon him from his birth to his old age. Here God used a man of faith for his redemptive purposes. And God has a plan for each of us. And whether you're young or whether you're old, God has a plan for his purposes, for his glory. But it's only going to be fully fulfilled when we are continuing to look to Christ for that greater reward. And look to Him and receive Him with that reward. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the sending of a Redeemer, Your own Son, where we can look to Moses, someone who led the people out of Egypt, a man of great faith, but ultimately we look to You, Christ the Redeemer, who leads us out of slavery, out of the house of bondage, and gives us this great faith that we would not fear, but we would know that we in You are protected and we are safe. Father, we pray for all of us here, we pray for one another, that we would live by faith in Jesus Christ, claiming that greater reward that is in Him. And we pray all these things, found in the name of Jesus. Amen.